The whole city, we're told, had gathered at the door of Simon and Andrew's home. People were bringing their sick and those possessed with demons. And as the sun set on this particular Sabbath, Jesus was busy healing and casting out demons, perhaps well into the night. He cured many, we are told, but not all. Early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus goes off to a deserted place to pray, a place without the distractions of life in that household and the town, so that he could spend some time in prayer. There were decisions to be made. After all, not everyone had been healed. The need was still great in Capernaum. And so Jesus prays. Until, of course, the disciples hunt him down. And that's exactly what the verb is in Greek. They hunt him down to tell him that everyone is searching for him. And he knew what that meant. More neighbors bringing their loved ones for healing. Each need greater than the last. Some were young, even children, it's safe to say. But rather than going back into town, Jesus is going on to neighboring towns. There's a message to be proclaimed, as well as acts of ministry to be done. And that's why he came. That is God's purpose for him. That was apparently the answer he received in the prayer. To stay in one place would be contrary to what he came to be and do. And so they went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God, casting out demons and healing people. And each place he stopped, when he moved on, he left people untouched by healing, still waiting for that miracle. I have wondered if that caused them not to believe his teachings. After all, he hadn't fulfilled their expectations of him. They wanted healing, and they didn't get it. Barbara Brown Taylor, who's an Episcopal minister and author, once wrote that the problem with miracles, it's hard to witness them without wanting one of your own. Every one of us knows someone who could use a miracle, but miracles are hard to come by, end quote. Jesus went out of his way to not be known for them. In fact, he often told those he healed to keep the encounter to themselves, which they did not do a good job of that. Jesus knew that as humans, we need tangible signs of power, of love, of care. Miracles were meant to be signs that would point to a powerful and loving God, not an endpoint in and of themselves. They were one of the ways Jesus exhibited the kingdom of God in the here and now. Now, Mark is not known for his details. It's the shortest gospel, and everything happens all of a sudden or immediately. So we don't really know what Jesus discerned in that time of prayer, except that after he knew he needed to continue to travel, to proclaim in word and deed that the time had come for the people of God to believe the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. Now, words alone, even when he taught with authority, they were not enough. But actions without words, well, that simply becomes magic. And we all know magic isn't real. Now, I have to admit, I have struggled with this passage over the years and the fact that there were people he left unhealed. It somehow seems contrary to who Jesus is that he would leave people still in pain. As one who has prayed with hundreds, I won't say thousands, I'm not that old, hundreds of people wanting healing, wanting a cure, I do wonder a little bit about Jesus here. There were people who had sought him out. Was he troubled about them as he left, knowing what their lives would continue to be like? In the past, when I have preached on this passage, I've taken a safer route and focused on Simon's mother-in-law, who was healed with a touch, and how she returned to serving immediately. Talk about a disciple. I have focused on the crowds of people who came just on the rumor that Jesus had healed this woman. I have preached about Jesus going to a deserted place to pray. There's a lot in this passage. But you know what? The passage always ends the same way, with crowds of people seeking him and him heading out of town. He continues to heal, but also continues to travel. In fact, in the verse following this, he heals a leper. And shortly after that, we find him back in Capernaum in a house packed to the rafters with people, to where a paralyzed man is lowered through the roof by his friends so that Jesus might heal him. The truth of Jesus' ministry is stated by Mark in our passage when he writes, "And he cured many, not all, but many." I don't really know what I expect of Jesus here. Obviously, he couldn't cure everybody of their diseases. The kingdom of God in all its fullness, where sickness and death are no more and all tears are wiped from their eyes, that's not where they were yet, and it's not where we are yet. After Jesus would leave a town, people still got sick and died. Even those he had cured would later get sick, and eventually they would die, because that's how we mortals are made. There were still poor people and hungry people. There was still oppression and injustice at the hands of a Roman emperor that cared nothing about them. In many ways, life was exactly the same as it had been before he had entered their city gates. So what, if anything, changed because of Jesus? Well, good news came with these actions, that while the world right now isn't seemingly much different, God has come to them, and God would not leave them again. Maybe Jesus left before healing all their diseases, but what he gave everyone were enduring gifts, a love that would not let them go, a hope that would sustain them on their darkest nights, a peace that could not be found anywhere else in the world. And these would change everything. These were not cheap gifts by any means. These were what would carry with them as they faced whatever life threw at them. It was also what they could share with each other as they sought to live as kingdom people together. It was this work of teaching and preaching, of healing and forgiving sins upon which the church would be built. And it is this work to which the church continues to be called. Jesus modeled for his disciples and for the church what our ministry is to be about: proclaiming his teachings, living by his example, worshiping God with all that we have in us, and loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. The prophet Micah has famously proclaimed, "What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Now, these all sound very simple, but that task is enormous, if not overwhelming. That is, if you think about it very much, especially in the face of the world's great need. Rabbi Rami Shapiro is quoted in a commentary on that passage in Micah saying, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." Jesus does not call us to bring in the kingdom in all its fullness. That's God's work. But neither are we simply to give up because it seems too much. Rather, like Jesus, we are to do what we can wherever we find ourselves. And we need to be discerning what God's will and purpose are for us here, now as individuals and also as the church. And like Jesus, it may not always stay the same. Jesus met the needs that he encountered, all the while reminding them that God was present in their midst, whether changing water into wine at a wedding, feeding 5,000 on a hillside, raising a widow's dead son, giving sight to a blind man, having dinner with Pharisees, all the while drawing people back to God. Everything he said and did proclaimed the love and the coming of the kingdom of God. And in that way, he built a community of believers who were united in their baptism and at this table, where healing, not always a cure, but healing and hope and love could be found. Now, not everyone found a cure, because not everyone was touched by Jesus. But all had the opportunity to find a path to wholeness, to a community where God would always be present. Jesus always did what he did in the midst of the community, even if that community was only a household, because he knew it was together that we can face our frailties and our weaknesses. Together we can grieve and we can rejoice. We can reach out to one another and pray for one another. In community, when Christ is present among us, we are being led and strengthened and supported in our work in the world. And together we can witness to God's love, not only in the message that our church puts out there, but by how we act as the Church of Jesus Christ. In feeding the hungry, in helping the poor, in supporting other Christian communities in their struggle, in exhibiting God's extravagant love by seeking to make sure all are included and can find their place at the table. Each time we are faithful to this call, we are bringing glimpses of the kingdom of heaven to earth. It is this experience, my friends, that of Jesus Christ that enables us to sing the Lord's song, even when we're grieving, when fear threatens to overwhelm us, when discouragement is on the rise. It is this relationship with the community of Jesus Christ that keeps us believing when hope grows dim or we are just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Jesus invites us, Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church, with the words, "Let us go on so that we may proclaim the message, for that's what we came to do." Amen.